Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, let's talk about my favorite subject, which is the transition of leadership. We have a presidential election coming up. I've been going around saying, and not so sure anymore, that the two candidates would be Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton, and that it was going to be close. And national polls have been showing that the only Republican who comes close to Hillary Clinton is Chris Christie. And yet the wolves are around Chris Christie right now. You can see that people are trying to take him down. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Anytime that there is a front runner, even as early as we are, we see, you know, the wolves come out, as you suggested, and people attempting to tear Christie down. Now, I think it's going to be extremely difficult to do. Christie's in a really kind of unique strategic position as the head of the Republican Governors Association. That is a 527. It's essentially a group that influences elections at the federal, state, and local level. And it's an extremely powerful one. Recent reports have shown that they have about $54 million in cash on hand, which allows that organization to funnel money to many, many candidates across the country. Now, so if you're thinking about building a campaign organization through 2016, being the head of this kind of an organization allows you to begin to create ties, to create in some ways debts that you know, local and statewide officials will be interested in paying back in the next election. So it also brings an exposure to Christie to many different party operatives across the nation. And you see this even with the ways in which Christie is appearing at kind of state Republican party galas across the country. It was just in one in Vermont where he was kind of the headliner of their winter gala. He did the same thing in Idaho. And you're going to see him move around. He has a very high profile that's likely to actually increase in terms of his party, which is all really designed with the primary in mind. So you're right that the wolves are circling. And it's also interesting if we look at, you know, his appeal within the party. His appeal actually seems to be a little bit stronger in terms of a general election.
Is that because they want to win?
I think it is because the Republicans in the electorate.
They want to win. Yeah. No, not only in the electorate, but the functionaries. I mean, I think in some ways, Brad Hayes, they were skeptical. He put his arm around Obama. You know, yeah. They didn't like that. He helped them. But at this stage of the game, after all the patronage has been denied to you, after you can't make any judgeships or any of the rest of it, it seems to me that you get tired of that. And you take a look at the polls and see that your only guy who can win is Christie, and that maybe he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that logic is sound. And if you look at the other names that are being floated around, you know, Paul, Ted Cruz.
They're getting creamed by Hillary.
Absolutely. And they are individuals that have more appeal to the Republican base than they do to centrist voters. And that's a real concern. So, I think that there is certain kind of strategy going on here with Christie and his appeal. There's also a bit of the unknown right now. I mean, people hear...
They're projected to him.
Yeah, exactly. That people haven't really kicked the tires on Christie yet outside of New Jersey. And we're going to then see that's part of that the wolves coming out process is trying to expose a different side of Christie to people who aren't really all that
familiar
with him.
Well, we saw it. I mean, he's just very embarrassed by the fact that he had appointed two people to the Port Authority of New York, and there was a terrible story about how they got mad at the mayor of a small town, Fort Lee, New Jersey, and they closed down the access lanes from Fort Lee because he wouldn't endorse the mayor,
right,
who's a Democrat, wouldn't endorse Christie. And they had to resign, which means there was smoke and fire there. It was, you know, nobody's tied Christie individually to it, but boy, it was not good.
Right. And these are the kinds of things we're going to see. Now, for somebody like Christie, that's relatively minor. He's probably going to be able to weather that. But that's the kind of stuff we're going to see percolating now, right? These stories that are going to be a bit more hostile to Christie. And a lot of that's going to be coming out from the right. It's really, you know.
And some of it from the New York Times, too.
Sure. You're going to see a lot of competition as things heat up because he is clearly the front runner right now. And the concern when talking about front runners right now, we probably, you know, we're not really all that concerned about votes right now. We're concerned about dollars, right? We're actually concerned about the ways in which he can raise money for his campaign, because we saw that, you know, in the last campaign, you need to have a healthy war chest. It's the one thing that Romney had, you know, a huge advantage over Santorum, over Gingrich, was a vast amount of money. And in some ways, he was just able to kind of stem the tides, you know, so everyone would kind of rise up and then they'd get crushed back down. And he was this steady candidate. Well, money goes a long way in help writing.
And you get the money because you're ahead in the polls.
That's right. So you can use that position and you might as well try to exploit it while you can. And you know, Christie's certainly going to do that. But that's why you want to try to tear him down early so that money comes to you rather than to the individual who's in the lead.
Aren't our politics, don't they go back and forth? Doesn't it happen in waves? So we've had Obama. The Republicans are out there screaming, he's a socialist, he's taking money away from us, he's redistributive. And the fight, of course, is not over the right-wingers in the Republican Party or the left, and it's the center. And so the fight now is to who positions themselves better with the center.
Yeah, this is the challenge, right? One of the things that'll be interesting to see emerge is, you know, are the actual pool of candidates for 2016. Because if, in fact, Chris Christie has to run against Rand Paul or Ted Cruz, he may actually have to shift a little bit, right,
well,
to the right.
It. We already
right?
see it.
No,
yeah.
That's right. And so you're right, then, that makes it then a little bit more challenging to shift center. Whereas in the Democratic Party, if, in fact, you just have, say, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, there's going to be less shifting. And so I think you're going to see, even in that primary, a real eye towards the center.
But you don't really think Joe Biden is going to do this, do you?
I think he might run. I mean, the numbers, I mean, if he's really paying attention to the numbers, they're not good
for him,
yes. But he seems sincere when he talks about it. And he's been doing things like going out and visiting states and early primary states.
Yeah, but what does Obama do? He's got his former Secretary of State. He ran against her. She was very good. She takes on the Secretary of State's job. You got a Vice President of the United States. You got the polls which show her creaming Biden.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, what is Obama going to do?
That's a great question. I mean, if you think about so much of what Obama's done, he's kind of a hands-off guy. I mean, if you think about his kind of his legislative strategy for so many of these big bills, I mean, he has kind of played only in the background. He's kind of let you know, the major players in the Senate and the House fight things out. And I wonder if he'll have that same strategy when it comes to partisan politics, where he's just going to allow the elites in the Democratic Party to sort it out rather than to intervene himself and say, look, it will be better for the party if, in fact, we have, you know, Hillary have pretty easy sailing to the nomination.
We only have a minute, but what does Obama have to do to go down in history as a great president?
That's I actually haven't thought about that question much. It's a really good question. I mean, I can tell you one thing, you know, in thinking a little bit about the end of the filibuster, he is shifting his strategy in terms of governing. We're shifting now towards kind of an administrative thrust in his governing strategy and away from a legislative, right? So he's trying to do things by administrative rulemaking, by executive decree rather than He's getting tougher, but he's also doing the only thing that's really available for him. If, in fact, he can have some success with, say, climate change, with gun regulation, that goes, you know, kind of circumvents the legislative process, that will help his legacy in terms of being a great president. But things are not going well for him right now. His approval ratings are very low. The rollout of the Affordable Care Act has not gone well. So he's got some work to do if he's going to be a quote-unquote great president.
We love having Brad Hayes on this program. He is associate professor of political science at Union College, and boy, are they lucky to have him. Brad, when we come back the next time, we'll find something else to talk about.